Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And again, Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnie, and Jace here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's a nasty day. Nasty. Gray. Rainy. Good thing it didn't look like this in Dallas on Wednesday.
I know. That would have made it interesting.
Well, I don't know if it would have made it interesting. It probably would have been, you know how that works.
It would have been a long day.
Been a long, long day. What would they do?
What if it rained all day?
What do you do?
They'd probably move the game.
Well, I was going to say, you can't play.
Yeah, I mean, they'd probably move it to, if they could get it in that night or the next day.
No, I mean, but what if it was literally one of those days where it rains all day and all night?
Yeah, well, then I don't know. That's a good question.
Right? Are you surprised that they've had 29 outdoor events?
Yeah.
And there hasn't been a rain out. There's been delays.
For some reason, I think they did move one.
Did they? They've actually moved one? I don't remember that.
To the next day. I could be wrong. Ryan's our hockey encyclopedia, so we'll get him on that.
Our wiki. Can you always trust the wiki, though? Is everything on the wiki?
You should source it if you're unsure.
You should source it.
Okay. You should check multiple sources.
We are back. We're excited to be back. We certainly went through a lot. We told you yesterday that Winter Storm Henry is going to be hitting the Northeast, so the weather is going to get probably tricky in Foxborough on Saturday night. It's also Derrick Henry's birthday tomorrow, so there's a lot of things lining up, you know, if you believe in that stuff, that, you know, Winter Storm Henry maybe going through Foxborough and Boston. It's Derrick Henry's birthday. Just saying. But we kind of went through some of that coming home, and I'm not a fan. Not a fan of turbulence.
No, I'm not either.
We had one of those flights, and probably people out there listening have all experienced this, where there was no service.
Yeah.
In other words, yeah, nobody's getting up from their seat.
It was a bumpy ride the whole way.
Yeah, not fun.
And I don't know how I was able to pull this off, but you said at one point you looked over at me and I was just out.
Well, you were bouncing all over the place, but you were out. You were hitting your head against the window. I have no idea.
Maybe I knocked myself out.
Maybe you got knocked out. Yeah.
I don't know.
But I don't know how you were sleeping through that. I was white knuckling it, but
yeah,
you were sound asleep.
When I was a kid, I was my grandparents are from a very rural part of Mississippi, and so we were down there visiting my great grandmother, and my mom tells a story all the time that there were like bad thunderstorms and tornadoes, and there was a tornado literally like going over the house, and I was just fast asleep. They're coming in and dragging me out to get me into the – they actually had a storm cellar. So to get in the storm cellar.
Look, I don't sleep. We've talked about this before. I cannot do a Pete Weber.
Yeah.
You know, wheels up, out, right. Wheels down, up. I can't do that. I wish I could. I can't. But I felt like as tired as we were yesterday, I was like, there's probably a real good chance that I sleep some.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I'm still tired.
No. Whoops. That's a no.
No. I slept a little on
damn
the plane.
Damn weather.
I know. The bumpy ride.
But we're home.
We are. We're here. Home. We're glad to be here. Glad to be here.
And there's been a lot of bumpiness in sports.
Yeah.
Been a lot of turbulence in sports since we landed.
Yep.
So we leave Dallas, and finally, after 17 meetings, the Cowboys look like they're prepared. They've heard enough after 17 meetings from Jason Garrett that they're going to move on.
Well, they haven't officially announced it yet.
I should just say, we think.
Sources are saying.
There's hints.
Yeah. Jason Garrett's time with the Cowboys is coming to an end.
Outlook says.
A source told ESPN's Ed Werder that after showing an abundance of care and respect for Garrett, team owner general manager Jerry Jones and executive vice president Stephen Jones have decided the coach will not be a part of the organization moving forward.
I trust Ed Werder.
I do too.
Yeah. He's pretty tied into the Dallas scene.
You know, he was a part of the layoffs from ESPN, mm-hmm. and a year and a half later they brought him back, and I think that was a really good move to bring him back because he's well-connected, especially with the Cowboys. and is in that area. So, look, I if Ed Werder says it, I believe it. So
my theory is this is out of respect. I agree with that because, I mean, he's been there since 07, starting as a coordinator. He's been the head coach for almost a decade.
He's the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a player, a coach, a head coach. So he's been around the organization, around the Jones family for a long time. Obviously, there's a huge amount of respect for Jason Garrett, so I do believe that it was out of respect. I also believe they've known all along that they were going to do this. Because let me just tell you, Dallas is about, and I get it, they have the mentality, especially Jerry, of, well, we're the Cowboys. I mean,
right.
We're not going to take a backseat to anybody.
And that's their problem.
We can call anybody whenever we want, and they'll drop everything, and they will come here. I do believe that there's been some back-channeling going on, and they've kind of had an idea. Whoever they're, you know, whatever college coach or former college coach they're talking to or they feel really good about, because it does seem like that's where they're going to go. Matt Rhule, Lincoln Riley, Urban Meyer, something like that, I think.
If you're making me make a prediction, I think it's Lincoln Riley.
So I think they're going to go the college route.
Mm-hmm. Which,
so I feel like they've gotten word that, it, not maybe a yes, but a sure, I'm interested. I'll be more than happy to sit down with you guys.
Right.
And that was enough for them. I mean, if they were getting, you know, if they had nothing, no irons in the fire, I believe.
Then they probably don't do it.
No. I believe they would have just, they would have done this earlier.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is what they were going to do. They did it out of respect. It looked like they were really, you know, thinking about it and thinking about it and agonizing over it. Oh, let's have another meeting. I think it was just played out for the public.
Do you think that Ezekiel Elliott could be pushing for Urban Meyer because of having played for him? I mean, with Urban being,
I don't think front offices listen to players. And I don't blame them.
No, they shouldn't.
I wouldn't listen to players.
They shouldn't.
Why would you? Honestly,
I think the only time.
Has Ezekiel Elliott earned?
No.
When it comes to asking him an important decision like that, what do you think Ezekiel Elliott's going to tell you? One, Urban Meyer hit everything that he did in Columbus,
right,
like he did on every stop.
Right.
He coddled and fostered, you know, that environment, which we all know. Basically, you can be a knucklehead and we'll hide it, make sure it doesn't get out, and we're okay with it as long as you can win his games. What do you think he's going to say about Urban Meyer? I wouldn't listen. I would never listen to a player.
Yeah.
Unless it was a well-respected player that's earned.
Now, if it's Jason Witten, okay.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You give me an example, I can go down the list.
If for whatever reason, Philip Fulmer was at one point in time, obviously not now, was, you know, being considered for that job, you go to Jason Witten, and Jason Witten would give you an honest answer. That's
Ezekiel Elliott is not in that category.
Right.
Sorry.
I agree.
Sorry, not in that category.
He hasn't earned that yet. He hasn't earned, he didn't have those skins on the wall.
No, and what do you think he's going to say?
Right. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, Coach Herb. He's the man. Get him in here.
I think that's where they're going. I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a retread. I don't think it's going to be Ron Rivera, who was sworn in yesterday in Washington. By the way,
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. What a weird organization they are. Gosh, they're so weird.
Dan Snyder.
Redskins are so weird and dysfunctional. You should appreciate Joe Gibbs more.
Yeah, you should. You know what's funny? Look at the headline right there about, should Dak have any say on Cowboys next coach?
No.
What we were just talking about.
Answer no. Why would Dak Prescott have any say in the next head coach?
No. I mean, let him have some say in the offense maybe, but not the head coach. You know, get his opinion on the offense.
Ridiculous topic.
But Lincoln Riley, like, the reason I would like Lincoln Riley is I think that offense could work with Dak.
If people are wondering what in the heck we were talking about, if you didn't see how the press conference began yesterday in Washington for the Redskins to announce and introduce their new head coach, here's what we're talking about.
Good afternoon. First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Did he mean Happy New Year, or what, was it a joke?
I don't know what he meant.
Does anybody know if that was a goof, if that was intended, if that was a joke that bombed? If that's, is that an inside joke? I don't know, but happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy holidays, Merry New Year.
Did Ron Rivera go, what have I done again?
did I really
say yes to this? Not exactly. Well, it's kind of like the Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Right? The initial press conference. I wonder if people behind the scenes for the Jets were like,
ooh.
Did we really hire this guy?
We always talk about winning the press conference. You can lose it, too.
We lost the room on that. So we'll come back. Speaking of weirdness, another thing that happened as we woke this morning. Mississippi State fell to Louisville in the Music City Bowl. We had Joe Moorhead on a couple weeks ago. The Bulldogs have moved on from Joe Moorhead. We'll talk to Nick Suss. There's been a lot of news in the state of Mississippi.
There's some Predators news that is just now coming out. So
Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and now Predators news. We'll tell you all about that and more on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this rainy Friday here in Music City. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside for the ride. Willie D is out in L.A. with the Predators. They will face the Kings tomorrow night. 9:30 puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 8:30 and everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Speaking of that, the Predators have a little news to pass along before we talk about what's going on in the state of Mississippi.
They will be recalling defenseman Alexander Carrier from the Milwaukee Admirals.
Okay. All right. We'll discuss that a little bit later in the show. Nick Suss, we always enjoy our conversations with him. Covers Ole Miss for the Clarion Ledger. We always talk to him about both schools whenever we talk to him because the Titans have been drafting Ole Miss players, Mississippi State players. Mississippi State's coming to the bowl. A lot of news going on. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Busy, busy couple of days in Mississippi, as you guys can tell.
You know, and that's weird, right? The beginning of January, and it's busy. Let's start with what we talked about yesterday on the show. We saw the press release, or I guess the comments, I should say, from athletics director Keith Carter on the hire of DJ Durkin and how they vetted him, and that, you know, they have crossed all their T's, dotted their I's, they've talked to everybody, and they're more than comfortable with this hire. What do you make of that move by Lane Kiffin to his staff?
Yeah, it feels like a move of me, from my end, of just Lane Kiffin wanting to bring in his approved guys. They had Mike McIntyre on staff as a defensive coordinator. He is an extremely well-regarded defensive coordinator, a former National Head Coach of the Year when he was at Colorado, and they could have done much worse than keeping McIntyre in place as a coordinator. But just like Kiffin did with Kendall Briles when he was at FAU, he shows he's not afraid to go out and get a guy who other schools might think of as untouchable. And whether or not you think Durkin was untouchable, it's not my place to make that judgment. I'm just here to tell you what's happening. But, yeah, it's not a surprise that Kiffin is not afraid to go after these controversial hires with, I guess in Durkin's case, a lot more than just skeletons in the closet. Everybody knows what happened with him at Maryland, and it was not a good situation. It was a very, very bad series of things that happened. But they say they vetted him. They say they trust that he'll make the changes, and it's up to Kiffin and Keith Carter and all these people to keep it in check and make sure there isn't a repeat of what happened in College Park. But that's about all that we can say right now, is they trust him, and it's up to them to make sure that he doesn't betray their trust.
What do you think about the staff that Lane Kiffin has put together? How did they do in the early signing period? We know the last one will be the first week of February. How is all that shoring up on the recruiting trail? And what do you think of his staff?
Well, the early signing period wasn't all that strong for Ole Miss, simply because Kiffin was hired, what, 9 days before the period began. And it's just hard to put a recruiting class together. They ended up getting, I think, 3 or 4 guys who weren't previously committed to Ole Miss to sign on the spot. And they retained somewhere around 7 to 10 guys that were committed to stay in the class, and they let a couple of others walk. And there were some very high-ranking prospects in the class who either didn't want to play for Kiffin or Kiffin didn't want to play for him. so the class is going to really come down to what they can do in February now that they have a fuller staff together and they'll have a more supportive coaching staff to be able to go out and recruit and tell people what the team is going to be like. As for what the staff is, I think he obviously went out and tried to get very talented recruiters. You look at Chris Partridge, who they just hired away from Michigan, is a one-time national recruiter of the year. And I believe in high school, he's the guy who coached guys like Rashawn Gary and Jabril Peppers before they came to Michigan. You get DJ Durkin, who was also a one-time national recruiter of the year, was a great recruiter at Florida when he was the defensive coordinator there. And then you look at what else he's done. Every single offensive coach he's hired has either worked with him before or worked on those Baylor teams under Art Briles that were scoring tons and tons of points. And once again, not afraid to hire coaches who might be untouchable in other circumstances, but Jeff Lebby, who is the new offensive coordinator, he was the running backs coach at Baylor on those teams. The new offensive line coach, Randy Clements, was the O-line coach and run game coordinator on those Baylor teams. He's not afraid to go out and get guys who have this recruiting track record and also who put up big numbers offensively in the past, and those seem to be his priorities one and two. Connections to Mississippi have been very minimal, and that's a huge difference between Kiffin and what previous staffs have done. But other than that, he's putting the staff together you'd expect.
Give us the dynamic, Nick, in that state, because so many times we talk about Auburn, and it's just a unique situation where you can have success, but because you've got, you know, the big elephant in the room, yeah, pun intended, there in the state and all the success they're having, it's like anything short of, you know, in the playoffs, national championship, it's like their coach is on the hot seat because they always have to meet up to the other standard of the other team in the state. Lane Kiffin, there's no doubt about it. While they haven't done anything yet, they haven't played a game, he's going to get attention. There's no doubt Ole Miss is going to get a lot of attention nationally because it's Lane Kiffin. And Lane Kiffin's out there, and he draws attention. How much do you think that played into what transpired, what we woke up to this morning, a team that came here to Nashville and lost to Louisville? We just had Joe Moorhead on the show a couple of weeks ago, and after the draft when they took Jeffrey Simmons, and now they have parted ways after two seasons. How much do you think, you know, that dynamic of now going back and forth, one always trying to up the other, does that play in the state of Mississippi?
Oh, I think it absolutely does. And I mean, until this morning, there was always the perception that, well, the team that wins the Egg Bowl is happy.
Yeah.
And obviously that wasn't the case this year because both teams are parting ways with their coaches. But, I mean, there was a lot of smoke that Moorhead was going to get the axe before the Egg Bowl. And then they win by 1 point on what has to be one of the weirdest and flukiest endings that anybody's ever watched. And I can recreate that second by second if you want me to. That's seared into my brain.
You talk about P-Gate?
Yeah, that's an eloquent way of putting it. It's a weird scenario where I do think that Lane Kiffin getting hired kind of put State on notice that they won't be able to coast their way through the next couple of seasons because Ole Miss might be more aggressive. But I also think the situation that transpired with a fight breaking out at practice between the starting quarterback and a starting linebacker might have hurt Moorhead. I think the suspensions that happened going into the season where a large portion of this team's depth was eradicated because a lot of guys were suspended for 8 or 9 games because of academic scandal. I think there's a lot of things that went into this situation, not the least of which being Joe Moorhead was brought in to be an offensive coach and the offense never seemed to click. He probably should have gotten a little more time if I'm being blunt. I mean, you take Mississippi State to 2 straight bowls. The only other coach who ever did that in his first 2 seasons at Mississippi State was Jackie Sherrill. But it's happening. I get why it's happening. And now Mississippi State's going to be in the position Ole Miss was in a couple weeks ago of having to find the right guy to right the ship.
We're talking to Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. So, I mean, the timing is weird. I mean, after the bowl game, they were just here in Nashville and lose that to Louisville. But you have a lot of the moves that have already been made that, I mean, who are they going to get at this point? Or are they going to go with an interim role for this season and see how that shakes out?
There have been a couple of names I've heard swirling around, and obviously if you want to talked to my coworker Tyler, who spends much more time covering Mississippi State than I do. He'd be much more informed. But the two names you've heard the most are probably Billy Napier, who's over at Louisiana Lafayette, who just got an extension yesterday, and who knows if he'd want to renege on that 24 hours later. And there's also Gene Chizik, who that name's been connected a lot. And when was the last time he coached?
Wow.
6 years ago?
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, because he's been at SEC Network.
I enjoy him on SEC Network, but hey, if he wants to get back into coaching, that's fine.
That's a name that's been thrown around a little bit, and there are a couple of other names that you'll hear connected, like Larry Fedora, because of his connections to the state of Mississippi, the same reason you heard him thrown around in the Ole Miss situation, and Jeff Monken with Army, and who knows, maybe Todd Monken, now that the Browns job hasn't fallen apart, if we're just throwing other people with Mississippi connections. It's going to be an interesting situation because Mississippi State does have theoretically a pretty good infrastructure in place. I don't know how good it is compared to the other SEC jobs that opened. And if you compare it to Arkansas, it's almost certainly better. If you compare it to Ole Miss and Missouri, I have no idea. But I do know that SEC jobs are destination jobs for a lot of coaches. And if you have the opportunity to make that jump, there are some coaches who will jump at it. The real question is going to be about the kids who signed their letters of intent a couple weeks ago. Will they be released, and which kids will decide to reopen their recruitment if they are released?
You know, it's interesting that you bring up Gene Chizik, because I think we've seen this trend of some coaches that have been out for a while. They've been doing TV. Herm Edwards is probably the best example in what he's done at Arizona State the last couple of years. It's interesting to see schools taking a chance on coaches like that. And, you know, for Herm Edwards, he was an NFL coach and ends up going to Arizona State. So the Chizik name is interesting to me, that he might not be a bad fit.
Yeah, and John Gruden's another pretty high-profile example of that.
Yeah,
out in Oakland. It's a name that, again, I can't say if it's true or not, but it's the name I've heard connected the most, and a couple of national reporters have brought it up too. It would be interesting, especially given the history that Mississippi State and Gene Chizik do have with the whole Cam Newton situation. I'm not the first person to make that observation, but if you look back about 10 years, man, that was a weird situation. The SEC is so entangled, and I mean, I can't rule anyone out except for maybe Hugh Freeze, and other than that, I still would be funny if they hired Hugh Freeze. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
Oh, that would be funny. Going back to Ole Miss and just the expectations of how far the Lane Kiffin can actually take them. I mean, you look at the West, Alabama, LSU, and maybe even throw Auburn in there. What do you think the realistic expectations for the first year or so for Lane Kiffin can be?
Well, I mean, year one for Lane Kiffin is going to be hard, simply because Ole Miss is going to have one of the three or four toughest schedules in college football. Five of their first seven games are against teams that finished the regular season ranked in the top 12 or 13. They have to play Baylor in the non-conference. They have to play Florida as their cross-division opponent, and then they have to play Auburn, LSU, and Alabama back-to-back-to-back. It's going to be an incredibly brutal start to the season, and you're going to have to learn on the fly because those are five really good teams. By the end of the season, your last five games, the toughest games are Mississippi State and Texas A&M, so you might be able to recover and get to that six-win plateau if you can finish strong, but it's still going to be so tough just because of how loaded the schedule is. You're going to have to steal some games against an Auburn or a Florida or a Baylor in order to be competitive and bowl eligible this year.
Last thing, Nick, what do you make of A.J. Brown's rookie campaign with the Titans?
I mean, surprised would be the wrong word, because this is what everybody in Mississippi saw for the last 7 years. If you go back through high school, he's doing what everybody down here kind of thought he would do. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people who just laughed at the idea of, oh, he's not fast enough, he won't get separation. And now to see him, I believe, tied for the NFL lead for 50-yard touchdowns this season, he got the separation. He's plenty fast enough. And then you look at how good of a route runner he is and how strong his hands are. He's doing pretty much what everybody at Ole Miss saw him do for the last 3 years. And, I mean, the state of Mississippi is rooting for him. Ole Miss fans are rooting for him, obviously. He's from Starkville, so a lot of people who are Mississippi State fans might be rooting for him as well. And it's just cool to see him emerge, because He's a guy who a lot of people thought should have been a first-round pick, who a lot of people empathize with because of his slide into the second round. And, I mean, if I had a vote, it'd be hard to pick against him for Rookie of the Year. I mean, Kyler Murray had a really good year, and Josh Jacobs had a really good year, but A.J. Brown has been stellar, especially down the stretch these last 5-6 weeks when it's been hard to keep him out of the end zone. And you can only wonder how good his numbers would have been if the Titans had made their quarterback switch week one instead of week six, because him and Tannehill really seem to have a rhythm going.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Nick, always enjoy the visits. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, anytime, y'all.
Happy New Year. Nick Suss covers Ole Miss for the Clarion Ledger, and we do appreciate him joining us. That's interesting.
Gene Chizik.
Joe Moorhead out at Mississippi State. Lane Kiffin hires DJ Durkin yesterday. A lot of news down in the state of Mississippi, and as he said, and we've talked about him with AJ about AJ Brown many, many times down there. They've been watching this, yeah, like he said, for the last 7 years. They're probably the one area, the one place that isn't surprised with his breakout rookie campaign.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've, because we've talked to Nick before about him, and so there was a lot of hype, a lot of praise coming out of Mississippi about him, and he's lived up to it. So, and it's obviously good for the Titans. They're going to need him this weekend to do that. So it's been a fun story to cover, and hopefully he can become that elite receiver that the Titans have been looking for a very long time.
So I'm trying to look. The Football Scoop just put out some intriguing options for Mississippi State.
Hugh Freeze would be just, oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
If they did that.
Oh,
ESPN would be doing SportsCenter Live from Starkville.
Tell you what, Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze.
Oh, could you imagine?
How about that? He brought up Monken. He brought up Napier. Those guys are obviously on this list. But you're right, man. If they went out and did that, I can't even imagine that would be in the cards. By the way, Tennessee, it looks like after their exciting win last night over Indiana down in Jacksonville, maybe losing one of their coaches on staff to Florida State. But what a comeback for the Vols, and quite a win for them. We got a lot more coming here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday morning. Do that on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Somebody suggested on Twitter that maybe Mississippi State should look to turn to Freddie Kitchens to be their next head coach.
Hmm.
Your thoughts?
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
I'm not sure if that was a joke or serious. My guess is probably a slight lean toward a joke.
Jeff Fisher could make a call.
There you go. What would he say?
Hey, you know, come down to Starkville. Good town, good college town. You know, I've been studying compliance. I'm ready to go.
By the way, we really haven't heard Jeff Fisher mentioned for anything.
No. I'm a little surprised, but not surprised at the same time. Cleveland was the one that would make the most sense if he were going to do it. But and I thought one thing, wow, Ia Kovalchuk signs with the Habs.
I was getting ready to say that.
I think that one thing that could help him is these coaches that are out of the game for a while coming out of the TV booth and are actually having success. I mean, John Gruden hasn't blown the doors off by any means, but you know, this year they made it interesting for a while. Herm Edwards has had success at Arizona State. Mack Brown has had success at UNC in 1 year. So there are examples of coaches that are out of it for a while. Now, Jeff hasn't been doing TV. He's just been, you know, around. He's been fishing. We've had him on a few times. But I don't know. I think his time has probably passed. And but who knows? You never know. I mean, Mississippi State, I think Gene Chizik is a very interesting name. And I don't know if that would be a terrible move for them.
The reason I brought that up to Nick Suss is I do wonder, because I know the answer. It was an ask. Answer. I know that they absolutely play off each other, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're battling each other,
sure,
in that state constantly. And right now, at least, he hasn't done anything. So I get it. He's going to eventually have to win football games. But for now, Ole Miss is going to get more attention. They are.
Yep.
People are going to talk about Ole Miss because they've hired Lane Kiffin. So I wonder if that will play a factor into Mississippi State trying to find somebody that'll give them a little oomph when it comes to discussion piece.
Yeah.
Now,
Hugh Freeze would
do
that.
A lot of people would say, that's silly. That's not how you – and I understand that. I get that. But it is a reality. And those two are always trying to one-up each other in that state. And if you're trying to one-up it – look, you're right. If you really want to – if you really want to go there, Hugh Freeze is
– oh, yeah. That would get – that would –
that would set the world on fire.
Everybody be looking at Ole Miss and go, what? Hang on. Mississippi State, give me a cowbell.
Squirrel!
Big time.
Right? But I don't know if that's realistic or not. I have no clue if Hugh Freeze would ever do that. You know, to Ole Miss. I have no idea.
He doesn't care. He wants to get back in the spotlight.
Look, that's a – how many times do you see that, though, honestly? How many times do you see them go to their direct rival?
I mean, it would be something.
I mean, give me an example.
I don't really have one.
Right. That's why when they used to, you know, Urban Meyer to Michigan, give me a break. He's not going to go from Ohio State to Michigan. Stop it. That's not how that works.
Well, it's going to be something to see who they end up getting.
And then
at this
point, long are they going to wait?
Because, I mean, they're kind of past the...
Well, we just talked about it, you know, that we're a month away, and there's going to be, you know, another recruiting day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're...
National signing day is a month away.
This is the point where head coaches are filling out their staff. This is not the point where you want to be hiring a head coach. And look, if Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma for Dallas, they're going to be in the same boat. I mean, you know, think about that. You know, what's going to be their plan if... Or Matt Rhule or, you know... Urban Meyer is obviously out right now, but so Baylor or Oklahoma could be sitting there looking for a head coach if one of them jets for the Cowboys or the NFL.
I kind of feel like Matt Rhule's the one who's going to get it.
I think Matt Rhule gets the Giants job.
You think?
I think Matt Rhule goes to the Giants. There's a connection there, and he's been linked to them.
I think he's going to take one of these NFL openings.
I think so.
I think that's
what he wants.
I would be more surprised that he was back at Baylor next season than in the NFL as a head coach.
Yeah, so would I. I think that's his ultimate goal, is to coach in the NFL. And, you know, would the Cowboys be silly to not pursue him? Yeah, I mean, they should definitely talk to him. But I just have a feeling that, you know, Jera is going to look at somebody like Lincoln Riley. And you know how Jerry kind of falls in love with people? I mean, that's been the problem with Jason Garrett, is he's held on to him for too long out of respect or just because that's his guy. And
do you know I saw a list this morning for the Cowboys? Do you know who was on the list that was the first I had seen that before?
No.
Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen. Really?
I was like, really?
Yeah, he's – I don't see him leaving Florida.
I don't see that. I don't see that. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
How about that? No. But I was like, you got my attention. I was like, whoa.
Huh.
That's why I'm saying everything just points, all signs are pointing toward Dallas is going to grab a college coach.
Yeah. I really think they will.
I mean, look, it's worked.
It could be Urban Meyer.
Jimmy Johnson worked.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson totally worked. That's the only time in the Jerry Jones era that it's actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
And they won 3 Super Bowls. And Barry Switzer. Yeah, but that was Jimmy's team.
Oh, come on. Really? You going to take that away from Switzer?
Yeah, that was Jimmy's team.
And then those two were like mountain rams.
Right.
Just locking horns.
Yep.
Once they had success.
Yep.
You mentioned Kovalchuk signs with Montreal for the rest of the season. We also put out there that Carrier has been called up from Milwaukee to join the Predators. And the way I look at this, that's probably not good news on the Ryan Ellis front.
No, it doesn't seem that way. And there was also a trade yesterday where some players were moving around.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Frolik going to
Buffalo,
Marcos Candela to Montreal, Mike Riley to Ottawa, all in separate deals. So, you know, a lot of movement now in the NHL. But, yeah, for Ryan Ellis, that doesn't look good. I feel like he's probably going to be out for a little bit. We'll see if there's more of a report later today on his condition.
By the way, Corey Perry will find out his fate today.
Yeah, he has his meeting.
Hopefully we will find out how many games he gets and hope it's more rather than less. By the way, I'm surprised James Franklin, his name hasn't been surfacing for some of these openings.
You just read my mind because I was sitting there thinking of that and was going to bring that up to you, and you beat me to it. So you are surprised that Franklin...
Very much.
Because I always felt like Jimmy Frank would go to the NFL.
Oh, there's no doubt. Look, he has. Look, I've talked to him about it.
He's coached. He's been an assistant in the NFL.
Yes.
Like Green Bay.
He follows the NFL. Yeah, he's a big Packers fan.
Yeah. But, I mean, he coached there.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he has. There's no doubt that he has aspirations, that he would do it.
We do have a good example of the rival, Rick Pitino.
Yeah, there's a good one. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Coach Reynolds on Twitter. Good call.
There was a big gap in between.
There was, but he still did it.
He did. You're right. That's a good one. That's probably the best one.
That's got to be the top.
That's the best one you'll come up with, I would think. All right, we will come back and close up shop on hour number one of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll head up to Foxborough. We'll talk to Matt Chatham. Actually, Boston. NESN and The Athletic, ESPN. He does it all. Covers the Patriots. We'll talk about the opponent for the Titans. Saturday night, 7:15 kickoff. It'll be the Woo-hoo! Texans and the Bills getting wild card weekend going tomorrow afternoon, followed by the nightcap, Titans and Patriots. We'll find out a little bit, honestly. I know he's not a meteorologist, but what is the weather going to be like? I was up there. Not the last time they were up there for the playoffs, because we know they were there a couple of years ago. It did not go well. They went right down the field, scored 7-0 out of the gates, and it was like, all right. And that was about the last good feeling you had in that game. But I was there in, what was that, 03, 04?
Yeah.
January 04, and it was negative 30-something with the wind chill.
That was the trip where the fire alarm went off.
Yes.
At 3 in the morning.
I was staying in the team hotel, and I can confirm that did happen. The night before, in the middle of the night. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Patriots.
Shocking. In Providence, Rhode Island.
Well, somebody.
So we're going to talk about that matchup. We'll also talk to Terry in the second hour as well. He's going up to Foxborough, and so we'll find out. Can the Titans get it done? We had, who'd we have on? Mike?
Petralia,
that's right. Back
on Monday.
Did the
morning show today as well.
Okay, on Monday. And I'll tell you what. It's rare. When you think about a run of two decades and the dominance the Patriots have had, he came on and he was like, yeah, I don't really have – he did not paint great vibes for the Patriots.
This is the weird feeling that I have. And I was texting with Teron Davenport last night as we were talking about Chase and TD. He's going to be in Boston tonight. So he's going to do the show from Boston. And he's like, I'm not playing – but I feel like I'm playing. I'm so pumped for this game. And I have just this feeling of that I really think the Titans can go into Foxborough and win. And the feeling that I have is I believe that that's the case too. And I'm not ready to say that this is the end of the run, but I feel like the Patriots, this just, the offense hasn't looked great. Tom Brady's arm, you can tell Father Time is starting to catch up to him. I feel like there's going to be a change. I just feel like something is about to change in the NFL. And I think it could start this weekend with the Titans eliminating the Patriots in the wild card round. I mean, they were in position to be the 2 seed and have a first round bye like they have so many times. And they blew it because they lost to the Miami Dolphins, one of the worst teams in the league.
Yep.
In week 17. And that's just not Patriot-like.
At home.
At home. I mean, how many games have they lost at home this year? They lost to Houston on that Sunday night game.
Well, they went 12-4.
Yeah, I mean, I know they've lost a few at home this year, which doesn't happen. I mean, when they opened that stadium, they had some sort of crazy streak of just winning so many games there. It was like, you know, the Titans were successful here. In Nissan Stadium, but they just don't lose at Gillette.
While we were battling the turbulence and the bumpy plane ride, at least we got to plug in and watch some of the Tennessee-Indiana game for a while on the plane. And our boy Tim Hasselbeck in the booth.
I guess that was at Houston they lost that game.
On the call. Yeah, that was Monday night. That was at Houston.
Yeah.
Or Sunday night, Monday night, one of those primetime games. But the Vols looked
Chiefs. That's what
dead and buried. I mean, dead and buried. In fact, when we were about to land and we had to close up shop, you know, everything's got to be upright, seats, you know, got to put the computers away, take your headphones off, although I kind of cheated.
You can leave your headphones on.
I kept it on. Well, yeah, you're right.
Headphones are good.
Kept everything probably open and on a little bit longer than I should have. I wanted to see where this was going, but it looked bleak. Yeah. It looked really bad. Tennessee was down 22-9. It's fourth quarter. And in fact, I even looked at you and said, I don't see this. I think they're going to lose this game. And sure enough, we get up. You know, by the time we get off the plane, get our luggage, and we're looking, and it's 23-22.
Yeah. I mean, we had walked
through the concourse.
And it was 22-9 still.
It was 22-9. And it's like, boy. In fact, Tennessee was getting ready to punt their last punt of the game. And what? There was 6-7 minutes to go, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it was.
And I'm like, well, this thing's over.
And by the time we got our bags, got out to get a cab to come back here, I get a text from a friend that says, holy moly, Vols. Didn't actually say that, but something to the effect.
Something like that.
Uh-huh. And I was like, what? And I pull the score up on my phone, and I look at you and your wife, and I go, holy crap. It's 23-22 with 3:45 left in the fourth.
And all had the same reaction.
How did that happen?
How could they have done that quick?
So they make Indiana punt. Tennessee marches down the field on 10 plays.
And went how far? Like 80?
Yeah.
Didn't they go like 80 yards, 85 yards?
Eric Gray, I think it was Eric Gray that scores. Or he scored on the next possession. So they go down the field and they score. And by the way, they had made a quarterback change. Maurer came in.
We were watching that on the plane.
Because Garantano threw a bad interception.
It was two straight series. Yeah. He had thrown a pick.
So Garantano was having a rough start. So they go to Maurer, but Maurer only has three attempts on the night. They go back to Garantano. So they score on 10 plays. They onside kick. Eric Gray gets the onside kick. Three plays later, he takes it to the house, and that's how they take the lead. And then the defense had to turn around and stop Indiana, who was trying to get in field goal range to win. And they end up getting a stop. Well, Tennessee even got the ball back and had to punt. And then they stop Indiana on a fourth, I think it was fourth and 10. I was listening to it on the radio at that point.
So was I. I love the question after the game to Jeremy Pruitt. So when did you come up with the strategy to onside kick? He's like, when we were still down a touchdown.
I know. That was a good answer.
I just started cracking up.
I
did you guys work on it? Yep. Every week.
It was great. Then Eric Gray had what a night. I mean, what a season for him. I mean, he's definitely a bright spot. And I know they were talking about on the radio of how big it was for the seniors to go out with a win. And Garantano said, you know, how much he loves this team and the university and all that stuff. So, 18 of 31.
Well, Jeremy Pruitt took it even a step further. Like, when asked about the future, he's like, no, we're going into next season with a quarterback battle. And I'm like, oh, like you know that? Like, everything's going to remain status quo? Did he just tell us that Garantano's coming back?
I mean, if you listen to Garantano,
shot it down quick.
Yeah, if you listen to both of them.
We're going to have quite a quarterback battle going into camp next year.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh, okay.
If you listen to both of them, it sounds like he's coming back.
Well, on one hand, with Garantano, what do you want him to say?
Well, I know.
You know, I've enjoyed my time here, but I got a lot of things to think about.
You can say I'm going to enjoy the night. You can say I'm going to enjoy this moment.
Yeah, but he's always had the same message. He's always says, I love this team. I love where I am. I mean, he's always done that.
Yeah.
So he didn't really say anything different than he always says.
I think at this point, I see him staying. I mean, why play the – if you're going to leave, why play the bowl game? What does the bowl game really do for you? Because he didn't have a great game. Now, they ended up winning, but, I mean, he was 18 – he attempted 31 passes and completed 18 of them and threw two picks, no touchdowns. So
– yeah, but when it counted, just like the Kentucky game, they got it done.
They did.
That's the difference. I mean, I thought it was about the W.
No, it is.
I didn't know it was about the stats.
It's about the W, but...
And by the way, he was benched in both games, and they came back and won when he was under center. So isn't that what it's about?
No, I agree, but I think the numbers tell a little bit of a story.
I just was surprised at how quick Jeremy Pruitt was just like, well, nobody's going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Okay.
Well, we'll see.
We will see. We'll come back.
Joe Moorhead probably thought that too until this morning.
After the Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he thought about it after he left... Nashville.
Yeah.
Wasn't a great showing in the second half.
It was not.
We'll come back. We'll head up to Boston. We'll learn a little bit more about the Patriots and their attempt to stay alive in the playoffs. Titans are attempting to keep going and to knock off the defending Super Bowl champs. We'll do that to kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.